Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said the man who will not act until he knows all will never act at all. We appreciate this opportunity of being with you again today. It's good again to be able to study from the Bible, and we appreciate your listening to Bible Meditations. Let's return to our study. We were looking last week at the subject introduced in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 5. The Bible says that God said to Moses, "See that you do it," that is, build the tabernacle, "according to the pattern that I showed unto thee in the mount." That simply implies the fact that there is a pattern given, and that pattern is to be followed, and that was the design and order of God in regard to Moses' work. Well, if God was very careful to give a pattern in regard to the conduct of Moses and the building of the tabernacle, would you and I assume today that he has no pattern and that you and I can just do anything we want to? We don't have to have a pattern. That God just simply puts us on our own and we can go any direction we'd like to go? Well, friends, I don't believe any of us think that's the case. All of us realize that God has given a pattern for New Testament worship, for the church that the Lord designed, and we must follow the pattern. The admonition throughout the Bible is, you don't add to the Bible and you don't take away from the words of the book of God. You find that in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 4, it's pointed out that it could not be added to or diminished from. Also, in the last book in the Bible, at the close of our Bible, Revelation 22 and verse 18 and 19, we're told not to add to or take away from the Word of God. The Bible also teaches that it's wrong for us to misuse and to twist the Scriptures unto our own destruction, as the Apostle Peter said. Also, you remember in writing to the churches of Galatia, in Galatians chapter 1, Paul says in verse 6, "I marvel that you're so soon removed from him who called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have heard or that ye have received, let him be accursed. As I said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." Well, certainly the very clear teaching of that passage is that we must not add to or take away from the Word of God. We must abide with the teachings of the gospel. That very clearly means to us that God doesn't want us deviating, and God doesn't want us out on our own in religious matters. Rather, he wants us to be obedient to his will. Well, if that's the case then, let's look at the pattern that God has given in his word, and remember the admonition, "See that you do it according to the pattern." We first of all looked at the idea that the Lord has given to those who are children of God a particular name that they are to wear. In this name, they glorify God, they magnify Jesus Christ. Now, the name that you read about is found in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16, Acts 11 and verse 26, and Acts 26 and verse 28. Those are the three times in the New Testament that a name is given for those who are disciples of the Lord. The record says, first of all, "And the disciples were called Christians," first at Antioch. There's the first use of the term. The implication is the disciples were called, and that's by God. They were called Christians first at Antioch. It's not just simply a term of derision. Sometimes people get the idea, well, that's just simply people using the term in a bad way and saying, "You fellas are Christians." No, that isn't the use of the term. The term is a God-given name that is spoken for those who are children of God. And the name Christian is the name we're talking about. We return to the book of Isaiah, and in Isaiah chapter 62, Isaiah pointed out the fact that the Gentiles would see the righteousness of God and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name which the mouth of the Lord shall name. So that ought to settle the question as to where the name came from. The mouth of the Lord was to name this name, and the new name referred to is the name Christian. Certainly, the term Christian is also used with reference to Paul's discussion with Agrippa. You remember in the 26th chapter of the book of Acts, Paul, instead of defending himself against unjust charges, went ahead to try to convince Agrippa that he ought to change his religious activity, that he ought to change his way of life. Notice, the record says, Agrippa said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." The work of Paul was to persuade people, to convince people that they ought to become Christians. So evidence is given that Christianity is right, and the persuasion of Paul with Agrippa was, I need to make this man or help this man become a Christian, a follower of the Lord. Well, certainly that's the effort of Paul throughout his lifetime, and it's also the effort of those who are Christians today. Then in 1 Peter 4 and verse 16, Peter said, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Now let's look back at verse 15 and note what he has said about suffering in other names. Well, he said, if you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or an evildoer or a busybody in other men's matters, then actually what he's saying is this, you have asked for it. That's what you deserve. If you suffer as a murderer, you deserve to pay the penalty. If you've been an evildoer, you deserve to pay the penalty. If you suffer because you have your nose in somebody else's business, it's a hard thing to do, but you need to pay the penalty, pay the price. All right, when you go through all of that, note the contrast. But if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name or in this behalf. In other words, don't be ashamed of suffering as a Christian. If someone were to ask you then, what is the pattern showing in regard to what disciples of Christ were called? The pattern shows they wore the name Christian. I'd like for you also to note when you're thinking about that they were not saying, I am a certain kind of Christian. There are some people who just the designation Christian is not enough for them. They want to add to it and say they're a particular kind of Christian and relate themselves to some religious movement that we have in our world. Well, Christianity is enough. You can be a Christian without a plus or a minus. You don't need an addition to the name. Just reply, I'm a Christian. And a Christian covers the very thing we ought to be doing. Because you remember, in this name we glorify God. That's the name we ought to be wearing. So if somebody tells you in religion what they believe and what they practice, all they need to do really is to say, I'm a Christian. And that gives us some insight as to what their beliefs are and the direction their lives have gone. Well, there is a pattern, and the pattern includes a name worn by those who are disciples of the Lord, and that name is Christian. Tomorrow we'll look at some more of the pattern. We do appreciate being with you today, and remind you that it was Jesus who said, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We now return you to our announcer.